We appreciate being here tonight. Brother Randy sent us a text yesterday evening that's asking us if we was going to be here and if we'd just do. And we told him, yeah, I don't know what was besetting him or what. He didn't ever say, didn't ever ask. But I would like to start off saying that I want to thank the church in our revival last week that come over. I know it's probably, I don't know if it was different to us, but it was different to them. I'll just say it that way. But even after talking to Crafton and Bid at the end of the week, I ain't even felt hardly such liberty as I've even felt any of our churches, just like what they had just felt there, the freedom. And learn a few things, I just tell you. We did as a group. They did. I did. But I appreciate the Lord that He can work. Because like I said, y'all know where that they come from. They wasn't quite used to how they heard it. I'll just say it that way. But there's quite a few of them, Brother Steve, that is really enjoying, I guess, because they had never seen it, but they didn't even understand it. But they said, just like Crafton one night, you know how he gets when he gets good and stirred, he'll just start laughing. One of the ladies after service was telling me, she said, he started laughing. She said, I started laughing. I don't even know why I was laughing. She said, but I told my husband, she said, I don't even know what I even mean when I even said this. She said, but I believe he made it somewhere. You know, so I appreciate, if nothing else, the remembrance in prayer. And y'all still can continue praying for us and everything. We just do what we can wherever we be at and everything. But we're just going to read just a verse of Scripture. And then we got, a lot of places or people that we can talk about or bring up in a message or ever how it goes. But we're going to read in Genesis chapter 17. And y'all just pray for us. We'll just do that God tells us to do. And Genesis chapter 17, we're just going to read a couple verses is all. Verses 6 and 7. Well, let me scoot up to 5. We'll really start there. It says, neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. That's what we feel like reading. And like I said, I know my thought, but I don't know what and how far or whatever it might go. But Abraham was just basically like the rest of us, where God had already spoke to him and told him about he's going to have a son of promise and all this. And of course we know how the scriptures go, you know, year after year it just keeps going. And sooner or later, I guess he's about like we are too, or we're about like what he was, and we try to figure it out. We try to figure out what God meant by what he told him. I'm going to be a father of many nations, and it just ain't working this way. Well, between him and Sarah, because you know Sarah, she thought, well, maybe I'll give him a handmaid. That'd do the trick. It happened, but that ain't what God was talking about. Abraham was thinking about his right-hand man, Eleazar, however how you pronounce his name. He said, he's been a loyal servant. He's part of my family now and everything, so maybe it'll just be through him. But in that seventh verse, it's when God told him, he said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee. So I guess what my thought was, and I guess it ain't the first time I really had it, but I could just imagine God just speaking to him, just like what we speak sometimes, and just telling him, says, I don't remember asking you. I don't remember asking you your opinion. I don't mind asking your help. I just told you what I was going to do. And this is between me and you, so quit trying to figure it out. In its time, it's going to work. And I guess that's what I thought about, is just through time and through all these scriptures and even my life a lot of times. Whenever God starts speaking, I try to start figuring things out. How is it going to work? What the outcome is going to be? And who's the best person for this? Who's the best person for that? When a lot of times, God is just really trying to talk to me, Jeff, and he says, I ain't asking you. I ain't asking you. Jonah, it said that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh. Now, he chose not to go. But after all said and done, he got vomited back up onto the shore. The same voice said, go to Nineveh. And I can just imagine him saying, Jonah, I didn't ask you. God has never came down and really asked me, Bruce, what do you think we ought to do today? He had never asked me my opinion of anybody, because I'd be wrong. But the way that he sets up, it's just the choice of do or you don't do. There ain't no middle ground. He told Noah, amongst all the sinful world, build an ark. You know what most of us would have did? I say myself probably, ain't nobody else doing it. What do you mean build an ark? Didn't ask you. I just told you. Build an ark, because something's coming, and it will come. He didn't ask Noah, what size do you think we ought to build? How many people you think is going to be aboard of it? And what kind of convenience do you want to have on it? He said, build an ark, and this is how you do it. Period. Just like the messenger came right there whenever Naaman come, knocked on the door, go dip 7 times in Jordan, shut the door, and went back in. Then he started thinking, I got better rivers over here. Why did I want to do that for? Why didn't he just come in here and speak to him? He didn't say that. He just said, go dip 7 times. I ain't asking you. If you want to get healed, that's how you do it. Quit asking. Go do. Quit telling God what to do. I still do. I'm going to tell you. I still do. Now, I don't stick to it, but the first thought, Cody, in my heart, my mind is like, okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying, but. And them buts has got me in a whole lot of trouble, because he didn't ask me. I'm going to tell you what. He ain't asking you stand up and testify whenever he asks you stand up and testify. He's telling you stand up and testify. Then if you stand up and testify, you're going to get a blessing. Matter of fact, he told the children of Israel this one time. He said, choose you this day. You got a night, and I lay before you a blessing and a cursing, period. I know we're fans of butts. Blessing and cursing. I lay for you life and death. And after he gave them that, Steve had advice. He said, choose life. And it's just like he said, choose life, turn around and walk off. So it's your choice now. And no ifs, ands, buts about it. No other direction is I'm giving you. And I ain't listening. There ain't a preacher ever stood up here or anywhere that actually preached in the Spirit, I'll say it that way, that has God ever talked to them and asked them, what do you think we ought to preach Sunday? They have been, many of us tried to preach what we wanted to preach Sunday and override God, but we didn't. And sometimes we can even get so built up on what our feeling goods are that we, unlike that song says, I can't walk without holding your hand. Brother Kerry, I've tried to walk without him up here. And that's one of my testimonies in life. Brother Boyd was our pastor. He asked us to, on one Sunday, stand next Sunday. Monday morning, God gave me a message. He wrapped it up in a box, put a bow on it, said, "Here you go. Here's a free one right here." And I felt so good. I got to work talking to Uncle L.C. about it. Let me tell you what God showed me. Tuesday, it got greater. It just kept growing, 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 growing. And the whole time, I'm talking, telling, because I'm not really got a whole lot of experience. So then you start thinking in your mind about, God, if it feels this good to me, then when I give it to the church, this side over here is going to be shouting, and this one over here is going to be singing. Ed, you done already pictured it in your mind that this is what's going to happen. Because it feels that good. What I failed to do, I failed to forget that God ain't really with me at that time. But it still felt good. Felt good all the way up to the point when the boy said, "Come on up, Bruce." When my foot hit right there, everything disappeared. I even opened my Bible up and there wasn't even words on the page, Steve. He took everything away. He took everything away. He said, "Now, if you think you can do it, you go right ahead." Now I'm going to tell you the exact words I said that day. Though I'm going to tell you, because it's still burning in my heart. "Brother Boyd, I ain't got nothing." And I turned around and I sat right back down. And I learned right then, I cannot walk without him holding my hand. Now, it ate me up. I'm going to tell you, devil said, "They ain't never going to ask you no more. You just embarrassed yourself. They seen what you was and wasn't." And all day Monday, what work? Just pitiful. I was pitiful. I'm just going to tell you. I don't know if you've ever been pitiful in a day or not, but I was pitiful. I got home. I called Boyd. I said, "Boyd, can I come talk to you?" "Yes, come on." I go talk to him. I told him what happened. He said, "I'm going to tell you what you done." He said, "I ain't doubting that God gave you a message." He said, "But you preached it all week long on your time." When God gives you a message, he'll give you a message to give at his time, not yours. He said, "So do you feel like standing Wednesday?" I said, "Yes." "Have I always been right where I needed to be and got over with it?" No, I hadn't. But I guarantee you one thing, he ain't never took the words back off the page from me. Because God did not ask me what my opinion was. What route do I think I want to go? And it's okay to imagine church. I don't know if he's driving down the road sometimes. Every once in a while, Kathy will look over and I'll be just, and she'll say, "Oh, are you having church again?" "Yes, I am." But I ain't never imagined what y'all would be doing in church. And because I'm up here, because it ain't me, it's the Spirit. But through the whole time, God does not ask us what we want to do. We're no different than really that clay that's on that potter's wheel that bends and folds, and everything that potter does, it does it to his will. It has no control, no nothing at all. Everything he wants to do to it, he knows what to apply to it, the pressure, and it just does. Now, Peter, James, and John out on the sailboat, storms come up. They go down, "Master, you care about us?" He walks up, "Peace be still." He didn't give the winds, he didn't give the waves time to even think about it. "Peace be still," suddenly. The waves don't give him trouble. Wind don't give him trouble. Clay don't give him trouble. The only thing gives him trouble is this right here. This is the only thing that gives him trouble. And believe me, it gives me trouble. Because I still say, "Lord, I'd like to have it this way." Because I'm going to tell you, we talked about the revival over there. And I sent many men messages. And there again, I had a big expectation. I done already told the members where to park. "Y'all park over there on the other side. Leave this old room right here for the visitors." Because in my mind, they just going to flood in here. It's okay. It's okay to have expectation. You need it. Because if you come here not expecting nothing, I guarantee you, you're going to get nothing. You need to expect. I need to expect. But we don't need to let it just drag us down if it don't happen in our way. Because I show up, and it was a pretty decent number for that church during the week. But that first night, Bruce was a little bit disappointed. You know, it didn't really show. But Bitt's message was this: who's going to calm your storm? You know, you can have a storm sitting right there on the bench, Robert. And I was in one. This little bit, Lord, I done already showed, you know, and all of a sudden, peace be still. Hey, I'm enjoying this now. During the week, I mean, it just got, I'm going to say how Bobby Green would say, it got gooder and gooder. Okay? It felt good. I was at the house one day and I was sitting there doing this. Kathy said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I'm a happy fella." I said, "Lord's sitting here blessing me." I said, "I ain't done nothing to deserve it, really." I said, Ezekiel said, "Yes, Lord." But I'm sure glad that he don't ask me what we ought to do. I'm glad he don't ask me to whatever things in my opinion, because I definitely mess things up. But God has the right plan. And that's why he tells us that we must live by faith. Yes, do I wonder how it's going to go? But I don't need to wonder so far that it knocks me off track. But we've got these wonders, we got these ponders, but God ain't even asked me one time, "What do you think?" He just says, "Get up and do." The blind boy, Jesus even made spittle on the ground, put it on his eyes. Go down to Siloam, pool of Siloam, and wash. Why did I got to go all the way down there for? How did I get there? Just go. Somebody might have took him. I don't know if anybody took him or not, if he failed his way there. But there's always going to be people with questions about why you're doing what you're doing. They will. Why are you doing that for? Because God said to. Yeah, but ain't no buts to it. Because he didn't ask me. He ain't asking you. And there ain't a man alive that he's asking, "What do you think we ought to do?" Matter of fact, he said, "His thoughts is higher than my thoughts. His ways is higher than my ways." And I'm going to tell you this, thank God that they are. Because my thoughts are corrupt sometimes. But also preached a message that one night, that your fruits will tell on you. And that's one of them messages that really got a few of them intrigued enough to keep on coming. One of them told me Sunday, she said, "Bruce, this ain't nothing against you," she said, "but that message about the fruit was the best message I've ever heard in my life." I said, "Well, I'm glad you heard it." Yeah. I'm not in a competition with anybody. Yes, I feel like I'm unusual sometimes. But I've done already tried to be somebody else. I tell this, and I guess it's kind of humorous to people that knows them, I reckon. I said, but Brother Thurman Hightower, Brother Emmett Burgess, whenever I announced my call to preach, about run it for me. Because I thought, that's how you got to do it. You got to be like that. And then after not really being too successful at it, I quit telling the Lord how I'm going to do it. And I listened to him, and he said, "You're going to do it this way or you won't do it." And I'm going to tell you what, when I do what he tells me to, in the direction that he tells me to, and in how he tells me to, I'm a happy fella. There's things in my mind tell me, "Would you like to be like that?" Yeah, because it feels good. It feels good to watch, I'll just tell you. But the bottom line is, he didn't ask me, "Bruce, how do you want to be? Do you want to preach like him or him?" He didn't say that. He just said, "Go. Go." So he ain't going to ask us at all what we think or what we want to do. One scripture in there says, let God be God. And if I do that, if we do that, we'll be a happier people. I appreciate being here tonight. Anybody got anything that they'd like to say or do?